Corinthians chapter number 11. 1 Corinthians 11, we'll take up with verse 17 tonight. As we look at Paul continuing on here, making these corrections, he began in chapter 11 in verse 2. He says, "Now I praise you, brethren, that you remember me in all things and keep the ordinances as I delivered them to you." And so he praises them there for keeping the ordinances, but as he'll go on to describe here, beginning in verse 17, it's as if he's saying, at least you're keeping them, but you got them all wrong. And so he gives correction here of what they had done with the Lord's Supper, particularly. Now, he doesn't address baptism in a corrective way anyway, just the Lord's table. And this gives this direction here for us in chapter 11, beginning in verse 17. And it goes from verse 17 on to the end of the chapter as he gives this particular correction to them. The church of Corinth had their divisions. He's already spoken about those divisions that were there in the body. Those divisions primarily, as the first one that he spoke of anyway, were those divisions where they were dividing among from whom they heard the gospel. And that was who they were aligning themselves with. And so that's who they divided themselves on. So there were already those divisions. And then there are those divisions that come because you have the groups that were doing the things that he's given correction on, and then those that were not doing those things, because they're the ones that are writing to Paul and saying, "Hey, you know, this is going on. Is this right? It don't seem right. This don't feel like this should be what the way it is. But these folks are doing this. What should we do here?" And so there were those kind of divisions where you had those that were involved in these things that were not right, and you had these others that were not involved in those things, and so you've got that division itself. And then he brings up here in our text today as well as heresies that were a part of it as well. These attacks from Satan and the things that they had allowed to come in among their body were tearing this church apart, and they didn't even see it. They didn't even recognize the debt, first of all, of their failures in this, but then they didn't recognize even how it was affecting them. And this is one of the things that Paul brings out in this particular correction here in regards to the Lord's Supper. It begins in verse 7. He says, "Now in this, verse 17 rather, now in this that I declare unto you, I praise you not, that ye come together not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when ye come together in the church, I hear that there be divisions among you, and I partly believe it. For there must be also heresies among you, that they which are approved of may be made manifest among you. When ye come together, therefore, into one place, this is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper, and one is hungry, and another is drunken. What, have you not houses to eat and to drink in, or despise ye the church of God and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not," he says. And so we have this problem here. You have the divisions, you have the heresies that have occurred, and we see primarily here how he is affecting them, particularly around the Lord's Supper, what it was for and what they had done with it. Now, the Lord's Supper, of course, Jesus instituted this as our second ordinance. He did so on the night of his arrest, the night before his crucifixion. It is a memorial, as Paul will go on to say here in our text. It is for the purpose of remembering His death till He comes. Till He comes, receive us unto Himself. In the doing of this particular ordinance among the church, it is a display of the gospel of Christ. In it we see His death, burial, and resurrection. In it we see that payment that was made for us. In it we commune together before our Lord in the taking of this because of what our Lord has done for us. And so we are solemnly remembering when we take of the Lord's Supper, when we take of the bread, when we take of the wine there, we are to be solemnly remembering what our Lord has done for us. It is not a party. We can rejoice in it, and there should be joy in it because of the payment that was made for us. But it is to be done solemnly. As we remember the Lord's death for us, what He suffered to bring salvation to us. Now, that's not how the church at Corinth was doing it here. Paul says they had turned it into a regular dinner. In fact, they were calling it agape feast, love feast. And they were coming in and they were bringing in this big dinner, and they were partaking, and they were doing this every time they met together. And so it was a big feast every week, and they were calling it the Lord's Supper. And they were partaking of it. He says that apparently they weren't sharing it. They were bringing what they wanted for themselves. They were feeding their own families with it when they came. And he says that one is hungry and another is drunken. He said, that's not what this is about. That's not what this is for. And so they were coming in. They were partaking of these love feasts. And they were those that had a lot. They were eating it up. Those that didn't have anything, they were just hungry, watching everybody else eat their hot dogs or whatever they were eating. And then there were others that were drunk. They made it. They made it something very much apart from what Christ Jesus had established as that supper to remember His death till He came. And so this was a big problem. And Paul tells them, look, you have houses to eat and to drink in. Now, some people take this verse 22, and say, well, the church, not everyone's supposed to get together and eat. I know a church that there's a particular family in that church. They will not eat at church because of this verse. They will not eat at church. The church has dinners and the church has get-togethers, and they have a fellowship hall. They meet together in that church. That family will not eat. They'll come. They won't eat. They just will not eat because we're not supposed to eat in the church building because of this right here. And that's not what Paul's saying. That's not what Paul's saying at all here. That's fine for us to get together and eat together. There's nothing wrong with that. Paul's saying when we come in to take of the Lord's Supper together, it's not the place for us to be having a feast around it. That's not its purpose. That's not what we're doing. Now, there's nothing wrong. They were taking it every week. There's nothing wrong with them taking it every week as long as they can keep the solemnity of the event, what it was for, remembering truly what this was done for them in the death of the Lord Jesus. But that's not what they had were able to do. They had turned it into just a weekly practice and had added and added and added to it until it did not resemble anything that the Lord had established as the ordinance for His churches to perform. So, he tells them here, verse 22, they've got houses to eat and drink in. And yet they would bring this shame on them by coming into the house of the Lord, supposedly to take of the Lord's Supper, to remember His death till He come, and they were just gluttoned and drunken in this these weekly affairs that they were partaking of and calling them love feasts. And Paul says, verse 23, he says, "For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread." Paul says, listen, I'm telling you this because it's my authority to tell you this. In other words, he didn't make this order up. This was not something that he came up with on his own. This is what the Lord had given him to give them. He had received this of the Lord, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me." Now, the Lord would institute this the night of his arrest, after having eaten the Passover supper with his disciples there. Go back to Matthew 26 with me and look there at the record that Matthew gives. Mark give a record of it as well as Luke gives a record of it. And he speaks to and they give a little bit different record on the words exactly that's spoken. Matthew's and Mark's are pretty close together. Luke gives a few more details to us in regards to this particular thing. John gives a record of the Passover, but he doesn't necessarily give a record of the Lord's Supper. He gives a record of the Passover and the teaching that would follow it. And that's what we have there in the latter part of the book of John. But these three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, they all give record of the ordinance itself. Now notice what he says here, Matthew chapter 26. And verse number 26. It says, "As they were eating, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, 'Drink ye all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. But I say unto you, I will not drink henceforth of this fruit of the vine until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.'" And so the disciples, they had eaten of the Passover with the Lord. That they ended that particular supper. They finished the working of that. They were dipping in the stock. You might say they were just sitting there kind of eating what was left, you know. And it was at that time, John tells us, that he sent Judas out. He tells them that there was one with them that would betray him. And, of course, they were all asking, "Is it I? Is it I?" And he said, "It's the one dipped with me in the sop." And that was at the same time Jesus, he told them right there, "It's him." I mean, he might as well pointed to him, but they still didn't get it when he said, "It's he that dipped with me in the sop." And then he tells Judas, "What you have to do, go do it." And so Judas leaves at that point. And they, even after hearing Jesus say that, they say, "Well, he must be sending Judas out to go buy something or go do something, you know." So they didn't recognize it themselves, even while he was telling them who it was that was betraying him. And after Judas leaves, this is when he institutes this particular part of the events on that night, when he would take that bread and break it and tell them to take eat of it, for this was his body. And to drink of the cup, it says, "Drink ye all of it among them, for it was the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many which shed for many for the remission of sins. And so when Paul is recording this here for us, Paul actually quotes more from Luke. You can see where he's kind of combined it, the saying of what took place in Matthew and Mark and what took place in Luke. Luke is the one that mentioned that it was to be in remembrance of me. And so this, and Paul said the Lord's one told him this. So these words likely are what the Lord told Paul when he was teaching him there in the wilderness. And so that's the reason Paul's words are just a little different from what Matthew and Mark and Luke record. It's very similar, but it's just a little different. And it may be because this is what the Lord told Paul directly, that Paul writes these particular things down as the words of the Lord here. But this supper was instituted as a memorial of the Lord's death. And it was done with these two elements. This is what it was to be done with and how it was to be done. First, it was with the bread and the wine, the bread symbolizing His body that was broken for us, the wine symbolizing His blood that was shed for us. This is only symbolic. Catholicism says that it actually turns into the flesh of Jesus in our mouth and turns into His blood in our mouth. That's not what it does at all. It's simply symbolic of the Lord's body and symbolic of His blood shed for us. It is a remembrance of Him. There is no element of grace in this. In other words, if we partake of this, it doesn't make us any more saved. When we partake of it, that's another thing that other denominations teach. But this, they call it a sacrament, and this is not a sacrament, it is an ordinance. There is no grace at all in this. It is just remembering what our Lord has done for us. And so these two elements are all it is to be about. It's all that is to be served in it, is the element of the bread and the element of the wine. And I won't get into all the defense of the wine and the bread here. Just know that's the two elements that are being used here. Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. The same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. So the Lord didn't give a particular amount of time that we are to do so. He didn't say, okay, when you do it one time a year, or when you do it four times a year, or when you do it every Sunday. He just said as often as you do. So as often as you take of this, this is how you are to take of it. This is the elements that you're to use, and this is its purpose, and this is how you are to do it. And so the bread is to be offered in remembrance of the Lord's body. It is, of course, unleavened bread, because that's the bread that was used in the Passover feast. In fact, there was no leaven even allowed in the house during the Passover feast. And so we know this was unleavened bread that the Lord partook of. Unleavened bread, of course, symbolizes the sinlessness of our Lord and the sinless perfection of Him. And that's what is used. Jesus called Himself in John chapter 6, the bread. He declared Himself as the bread of life. And so here He describes His body being broken for us as that bread. And then the wine representing His blood, that would be our payment for sin. This was what the beverage was that was being drank at the Lord's Supper, or at the Passover feast, I should say. And that's what was being offered there. And so that's what the Lord used to show that. Some say, well, He could have used something different. If He wanted to use Kool-Aid, He could have used Kool-Aid and crackers. But the Lord who established The Lord who established the Passover feast to begin with, that was representing what the Lord Jesus was going to do, knew what elements he was going to allow to be in there so that it, when he does this, when he establishes this, those elements would be that which is present. And so this, that was the elements that were present. That was the elements that the Lord uses. Now notice it does three things. Three things. First of all, it is a memorial. It is a memorial of the Lord's death for us. The giving of Himself. Our sacrifice given for us. It is a memorial of that. It is a communion between us and Christ Jesus our Lord. Celebrating the fact that our Savior lives. He is the risen Savior. And we acknowledge, we remember what great price He paid for us, and then we commune with Him in that. And if we're communing with Him, that means He lives, you see. And so we are communing with our Lord, celebrating His resurrection, at the same time remembering what great price He paid to redeem us unto Himself. And so there is the memorial, there is the communion with Him, and then it is, thirdly, a commitment that He is coming again to receive us unto Himself. He says that we are to do this till He comes. Till He comes. And so we, and Paul said there, verse 26, for as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till He come. And so it is a commitment to the reality that our Lord is coming back. So we are remembering Him, we are communing with Him, and we are rejoicing in the reality that He's coming back to get us. That was His very promise He made there in John 14. After He established this with them, there in John 14, He declares, I'm coming, I'm going away, I'm going to prepare a place for you, and when I get done preparing that place for you, I'm coming again to receive you unto Myself. Where I am, there you may be also. And so we are looking for His return. And so when we partake of the Lord's Supper, we are not only remembering what He done for us, but we are looking forward to His return, the fulfillment of His promise that He's coming to get us, that where He is, there we may be also. So ye do show the Lord's death till He come. Now, verse 27, when we do this, when we partake of this supper, this ordinance together, we must have a proper heart in doing so. He says here in verse 27, wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Now this is something that they didn't even recognize as the church there at Corinth. They didn't even recognize how their heresies that they had brought in to this supper, how it had affected them as a church. They didn't recognize how their lackluster performance in this ordinance, how it had affected them so badly. Simply because their hearts were not right in what they were doing, how they were doing it. Wherefore, he says, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. And so one could not and should not eat and drink of the Lord's Supper unworthily. So he says, verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. Now this is an examination that we are to do for ourselves. Now, I won't get into full depth of this because the reason these are whole messages in themselves, so I'm kind of got to run through these things. But in we believe in closed communion, and what we mean by that is only the members of the church that are in good standing with the church, those that are not under discipline or something, or not have particular sins, known sins in their lives that the church all knows about, only those can partake of the Lord's Supper together, the members of the church. That's who it's for. There are others that practice what is called close communion or even open communion, where they allow whoever they want to. Close communion is of like faith and order, can partake of the table together. That's not what's described for us in the Scripture. It is only the Lord's disciples. When He instituted it, it was only His 11 that partook of the supper here with Him. Even though Judas was one of the 12, even Judas He put out from them before He took of this supper with them. It is for His church as a body, us as a singular body together, partaking of this ordinance together. That's the only way that it can be controlled, as is recorded for us here. Now, we can deal with the issues of discipline and so on as a body of not allowing one to partake of the Lord's Supper. But then individually, we need to examine ourselves, because we go through periods in life where maybe we're not as close to the Lord as we should be. Maybe we're not, our head's not in the right place, our heart's not in the right place. We need to examine ourselves, Paul says. That when it comes time to take of the Lord's Supper, that we need to examine ourselves to make sure that our hearts are right before the Lord. That there's no sin in us that is unconfessed before Him, that we're harboring there before Him, but that we are right with Him when we partake of this meal together. And so this is an examination that needs to take place before we eat of the Lord's Supper. And so He says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth, He says, and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh damnation to himself. Now, He's not talking about somebody losing their salvation here, but He's talking about that it could be unto death. That this unworthiness would cost them. This is the case, He goes on to say. He says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. This was the case here with the church at Corinth. They were all it was about for them was the feast. Their minds were not on the death of the Lord. Their minds were not on the payment that Christ had made for them, but it was all about just the feast of the week. That was the only thing they were concerned about. It says, for this cause, Paul says, many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep, he says. Now we know that that word, Paul will use it over here in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 when we get over to that particular passage. He uses it there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. We know that word sleep is in reference to the saints that have died. To the children of God that have died. That's the word that is used there. Sleep. The Lord used it in reference to Lazarus. He's sleeping. Oh, well, if he sleeps and he gets some rest, Jesus, he's dead. He had to clarify it for him. But that's the term that's used. It's a nice term that's used to show that our bodies may be dead, but our spirits are alive in the Lord. And so this term sleep is used. And so here Paul says that that is the case with some of them. There were those that had partaken of the Lord's Supper here. They had eaten of the bread and the wine and went through the motions of the Lord's Supper. They had done so unworthily because they were not discerning the Lord's body. And not discerning the Lord's body, there were some of them that were sick because of it. They had sickness on them because of it, and others that had died because of it. But they just did not get it. And they continued on, and the chastening of the Lord continued on them, and they literally died from these sicknesses that had come on them because they were eating and drinking unworthily of the Lord's table. And so it's serious. It's a serious thing that the Lord, this example, that the ordinance is given us that we might remember the Lord's body, and the Lord does not want us as His people to mess up that picture. His pictures, those pictures that the Lord puts in the Scriptures, He takes very seriously. He wants those pictures to be seen. He wants those pictures to be seen. And this is the picture of the gospel of Christ. This is the picture of our Lord's death for us. And so this is a very serious picture that He wants us to see. And so He handles it seriously. He handles it seriously. And so there were those that were sick. There were those that even died because of this. For if we would, Paul says, verse 31, for if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. So in other words, that's the reason you need to examine yourself, Paul says. That's the reason you need to make sure you're right with the Lord before you partake of this. Because if you judge yourself, if you've examined yourself, if you look into your heart and seen your wickednesses and seen those things in you that have separated you from the Lord, you've seen those things in you that should not be there, then you can repent of those things and be right before the Lord when you take of this bread and take of this wine. But when we are judged, he says, we are chastened of the Lord. If we're leaving it up to Him, in other words, he says that He's going to chasten us, that we should not be condemned with the world. Because He's not going to spoil that picture of the gospel. He's not going to allow His people to spoil that picture of the gospel. Wherefore, my brethren, when ye come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together unto condemnation. And the rest will I set in order when I come. So that wasn't all they were doing wrong, in other words. But this would suffice until Paul could get there to straighten them out on the rest of it. So the rest, he said, I'll set in order when I come. These are the things that were affecting them the most. This is literally costing their lives, some of them. Because they had taken so little thought of the ordinance of the Lord. And so we need to be mindful that we examine ourselves when we partake of the Lord's Supper together. That being said, we look to take the Lord's Supper Sunday. So examine yourselves. We're supposed to do it every quarter, and we've missed a quarter, and we need to get it in this quarter before the quarter's up. So we look to take the Lord's Supper together on Sunday afternoon. Okay, so remember that coming up. Examine yourselves, that we not partake of this meal together unworthily. All right, let's all stand together. We'll be dismissed.